Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast with your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of the Mill Creek View newspaper.
Welcome back to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast. We are focusing on the volunteer state and our nation today with always an interesting person making a positive change in our community. This time, special guest Brandon Lewis. But first, for more information about the Mill Creek View podcast, visit us anywhere you get your podcasts and socials at Mill Creek View, Tennessee. While you're there, please subscribe. And welcome to our Let's Go Brandon segment. Dark Brandon for you Rumble viewers, where I interview Brandon Lewis. Brandon Kenneth Lewis, born 20 June 1971, is a British politician who served as Secretary of State for Justice and Lord Chancellor from September to October 2022. He previously served as Chairman of the Conservative Party from 2018 to 19. Born in Harold Wood, London, Lewis attended the Independent Forest School. That's you, right?
Yes, Governor. I'm very happy to be here representing my district over in the UK. Occasionally, I do get confused with the other chap here. What is it? You call it that? Chattanooga?
Yes. Chattanooga, yes. Well, he was a member of the Conservative Party, so you might be related, but I'm just kidding. According to Local 3 News, Brandon Lewis is the publisher of Chattanooga-based Tennessee Conservative News. He said it's an alternative conservative news publication focusing exclusively on what's happening in the state. The site posted a report calling several Republican lawmakers Republicans in name only, or RINO for short. Lewis said the purpose of the RINO report is to expose how Republican officials voted on key issues like immigration, school choice, and medical freedom in the last legislative session. Lewis believes certain Republicans are to blame for major issues in Tennessee, like education. Brandon, how's that even possible? Or I should say, how dare you?
Well, you know, if you just watch the social media feeds on Twitter and Facebook, you would think something was actually happening. But very often what is happening is the exact opposite of what is reported in mainstream media outlets, because often RINOs and left-leaners in the media, which consist of about 98% of media in Tennessee, are on the same team on many, many issues, yet they tell primary voters that they're not. So our RINO report, which Jason Vaughn is feverishly working on right now, compiling for the last legislative session, is on its way, and I'm sure it will be met with enthusiasm at the Cordell Hall building, just like our previous one was.
All right. Well, Facebook is at it again, up to their old shenanigans. You made your own news, like Hunter S. Thompson, Gonzo Journalism, a headline ripped right from the pages of your website. Facebook censors conservative news story, calls it hate speech. How dare you publish hate speech, BL? Don't you know that's not protected by the First Amendment?
Yes, this is very interesting. Because the article had to do with whether or not Williamson County was going to replace some voting machines. It had nothing to do with anything related to anyone's ethnicity or their
heritage. You hate the machines.
It just was completely unrelated. So I don't know if it is just, if you get enough liberal trolls flag something, if Facebook just says that's what it is. It's no different than the reason they kicked us off originally, bounced us down, because we did have more engagement than any other news outlet in all of Tennessee, even the Tennessee and Knox News Sentinel, Chattanoogan, on Facebook. But we published a meme that said we trusted Kyle Rittenhouse with a gun more than we trusted Alec Baldwin, and that was also hate speech. And so ever since that, they just turned us down to nothing. Our membership doesn't grow. People can't follow it if they're not already following it. So it's just, you know, it's your Orwellian censorship at its height. Big tech and the RINOs and the Democrats all working in lockstep to keep the narrative the same.
The pop-up says, you know, the consumer warning says, worse than cigarettes, goes against our community standards, it says. Which community does Facebook operate in, China or North Korea?
I don't know. They will not do anything that makes the Chinese overlords angry. You find that to be the same with Disney, the same with the NBA, the NFL. You know, basically, they're not. There's no such thing as red or blue politics. It's just about all green.
Maybe the Tennessean. Oh, did I say that? Chinese investors owned just 69,295 acres of American land at the end of 2011, according to the Department of Agriculture. But by the end of 2021, Chinese investors controlled 383,935 acres. Headline from you, Lee signs bill restricting foreign ownership of Tennessee land. Governor Bill Lee officially signed a bill into law that restricts foreign ownership of property within the borders of Tennessee. What's up with that?
Well, you know, the countries that are on the watch list, and I believe it's like either a terrorist watch list or a sanction watch list. I don't know how they come up with these lists, but it does include countries that most conservatives are worried about buying farmland right in their backyard, like the Chinese Communist Party, which is amazing because this exact same bill was originally gaveled down in committee or something very similar without even being heard by a rhino. I can't remember his name offhand right now. It'll come to me in a moment. But this thing kind of somehow got resurrected again, this session, and has been enacted into law. And so it makes a lot of people rest easier knowing that we're not letting them buy our real estate here. And a lot of these tracts of land were around sensitive areas, around Air Force bases and other military installments in Tennessee. And so between the farmland issue and the national security issue, we're glad to see that thing got through the legislative session because very few things did.
I was very surprised, actually, since so much money seems to be driving forces around here. That's a lot of money that they now said is off limits. And last I checked, Bill Gates wasn't a Chinese citizen yet. Gates owns approximately 242,000 acres of farmland with assets totaling more than $690 million. To put that into perspective, that's nearly the size of Hong Kong. Is there a law pending to keep him and his gross fake meat and edible vaccine veggies out of Tennessee?
Oh, doubtful. The Gates Foundation has given money to all kinds of institutions related to and inside Tennessee. And Gary Hicks, by the way, is the gentleman that gaveled down that bill originally on foreign ownership of land without any discussion. It was later passed. But back to your question here, and I believe that Bill Lee is met with Gates. I believe I can't. I'd have to look at some of the old stories that we've ran previously. So it's not surprising, and I'm very doubtful that. I don't know that we could even do that anyway with an American citizen purchasing land. I wouldn't think.
No, just follow the money. I think you have a report called that.
Yes.
Next headline. Governor Bill Lee has called for a special session to, in his words, strengthen public safety and preserve constitutional rights. Polls show we don't want anything to come out of this. These poor guys and gals have to schlep all the way from Blount County and Knoxville to deal with this in the blazing summer heat away from family and jobs for their measly $30,000 January through April. And Lee is a lame duck. And apparently they are rallying up the agitators to cause a big stink outside the Capitol again. So I think they are ticked off. And what do you expect to come out of this?
Well, as I understand it, I believe that either 50% or 2/3 of the House and Senate have to confer with Lee wanting a special session, I believe. It seems to me it would be completely unwise for Sexton, McNally, or anybody who's wanting to run for re-election in 2024 to even let this get down the road, to let the media storm come from all over the nation that's going to come when Bill Lee tries this, only to have the thing, I believe, eventually fail. There are very few things that rhinos will not touch, even though they would probably like to. Gun issues in Tennessee are one of them, and it's one of those issues that it's not only a Republican issue primarily, it's like a Republican and a Democrat issue. Even in bluer states, you've got people that want to protect their home, that understand the Second Amendment is not for, you know, hunting and sportsmanship and personal protection. It is to help overthrow tyrannical governments. And it is so funny to me that Governor Lee, while wanting to skirt around due process and trample the Second Amendment, says that he's going to get us all together to protect constitutional rights. Well, the thing is, Bill, the Constitution, both of the United States and Tennessee, is already in place. We don't need you to have a special session to protect those rights. Those rights are already enshrined. So having any type of legislative body get together to do this just endangers constitutional rights. It does not protect them. But that is your traditional lying rhino methodology, just like calling toll lanes choice lanes. And if you're for toll lanes, which personally I am from a convenience sake, but politically I'm not, because I don't like private partnerships and the government working together. It's a monopoly. So we shall see if the thing even gets off the ground. Calling it does not necessarily mean that it's going to happen. And I just could not see anyone that values their political future in a Republican primary getting up there to touch any of this or advocate for it.
Yeah. And there's four kinds of rattlesnakes here. I mean, come on. It's not all about crime at 7-Eleven. I mean, we got to take care of ourselves and our dogs. Anyway, the Justins and Gloria, the Tennessee Jays, Justin and Johnson have gotten a lot of publicity out of this gun issue. What does your neighbor Knoxville over there think of this grandstanding politician, Gloria Johnson?
I think Gloria Johnson does a lot better job advocating for Democrat principles than any of our Republican leadership does in advocating for conservative Republican principles. So while I don't agree with the three, I admire their tenacity to, A, make promises to their voters on specific issues and then to fight hammer and tong for them. Whereas our guys are so mush-mouthed and wimpy, they'll run on all kinds of things, but if they get any kind of pushback, they will not follow through. And most of the time, they have no intention of following through in the first place. And so while I don't like what they stand for, and I don't believe that any of their policies are going to be beneficial to Tennesseans as a whole, and I think that they're completely off base and they're focusing on inanimate objects instead of the individuals who are causing the crime, I admire their tenacity and their bravery and their ability to get out there and get their voices heard. So I think more than to badmouth them because they're on the other side of the aisle, I prop them up to Republicans as an example of what it really looks like when people represent their constituents and then follow through and put their reputations on the line for it. I wish we had as much enthusiasm in the Republican Conservative Party for this kind of activity versus watching the Democrats do it.
Well, that's a very interesting point, and they certainly raise more money. Okay, last one for this month, my favorite time of the month, no cramps. Thanks again for your willingness and darn right eagerness to do this with me. I appreciate it.
I enjoy it. It's fun.
Awesome. A Hamilton County school cancels Mother's Day lesson following pushback from Moms for Liberty. A Hamilton County school librarian recently attempted to expose students attending Alpine Crest Elementary School to children's literature with roots in queer and gender study. That's your county library. Why do they hate mamas so much?
So this is a Red Bank school, which is right down the hill from me up here on Signal Mountain. And it used to be the school that everyone on Signal Mountain went to school to before they built a few more up here. And so it's one of those close to home issues. But basically, you know, the librarian sends out a note to parents that say, well, we understand that on Mother's Day, not everybody has a mother. Well, no, everybody does. That's kind of how you get here. It is a prerequisite. It is a prerequisite for existence.
For now.
Two daddies ain't ever made a baby, to my knowledge, nor two mothers. And so everybody's got one. Now, they may not have one in the home. I understand that. But they said that my job is to send different things. And so we're going to be sending home a lesson basically about Susie brings two dads to Mother's Day at school, and there's a bear that's Mama Bear Bill or something like that. It's just a bunch of ridiculous
nonsense.
It's
Bruce. It's named after Bruce Jenner.
Yeah, I guess so. And so it just continues to reinforce this sad truth that our public government schools are not a safe place to send your kids if you don't want them to be corrupted and misled. And I know that they continue to pass laws in the legislature that things like this can't happen, and that kids shouldn't have to be exposed to it. And they you know, take some government bureaucrat, they put a different wrap on a van with a raccoon that can read, and they read, you know, they brand and slogan it and send them out on the road trying to fix this broken mess. But the fact is, we just don't have any business in education. I don't think at the government level. We're failing our kids epically. Every standardized test score proves that. Customer satisfaction's in the toilet. And this is just another example of what a cesspool public education has turned into, and the fact that we need to just give people their money back and let them move on.
Agreed. All right. Tell everyone where they can go to find out more about you and follow your social media and go to your website and donate money and all that good stuff.
If you'd like to follow Dark Brandon, which apparently is what's going on today with the lighting here. I don't know what's happening. Maybe you can lighten this up in production. Maybe you can make me Lily White instead of Porter Indian Red like I'm looking right now. And I appreciate that, Steve. Steve Johann, not Steve Abramowitz.
Steve.
But you can TennesseeConservativeNews.com. And of course, you can search Tennessee Conservative wherever you get your podcast. And I will be on the road, depending on when you publish this, this Sunday at Calvary Chapel in the evening in Chattanooga, Tennessee, speaking with Gary Humble on, you know, what it looks like to practically engage in politics as a conservative Christian. And I'll be on the road. I'll get out of my hermit hole a few more times this year before I call it quits heading into the winter. So I'll be out and about, and we'll still be publishing the news, although it gets a little slower, obviously, in the summer than when the session's going on.
Well, thank you very much again for coming on.
Glad to be here, buddy.
With Columbia, Tennessee-based EnergizeHealth.com, you lose fat fast, simply, and naturally without restrictive exercise or cardboard, dry, tasteless food. Revolutionize your health with this proprietary 88-day science from John and Chelsea Jubilee. People report getting off medications and reversing ailments. Energy, mental clarity, and alertness go through the roof, look and feel many years younger, and oftentimes unrecognizable. I know, I'm an alumnus and lost 70 pounds of fat with John and Chelsea and wouldn't have energy to do three shows a week without it. Hit the link in show notes for your free consultation and discount, money back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose but unhealthy fat. EnergizedHealth.com. I don't understand. Welcome back to our People in the News episode, where I interview people who are making an impact and are lovers of truth. And we are talking with Joseph Padilla. Joseph A. Padilla was elected to the Wilson County School Board in Zone 4. He proudly served this great nation for 20 years in the Marine Corps and serves his community with the same honor, courage, and commitment. Hello, Joseph. Happy Memorial Day. Thank you for your service, sir. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing better than I deserve, sir. I'm glad to be a part of this and speak with a fellow patriot.
Oh, thank you very much. That's awesome. But thank you for your service. I didn't serve. Tell us a little bit about Wilson County, always in the shadow of Williams and Davidson County, Franklin and Nashville, where all the action is. You have Mount Juliet and Lebanon. So for someone that may not know or may want to check it out, but never have, tell us a little bit.
Well, I would like to say, Wilson County is the closest county to Davidson, you know, closest county to downtown, the closest county to the airport that is still has really strong conservative values. Okay, it's a land between the lakes. It's where Charlie Daniels was from. The American spirit, the love of God, the courage, the charity. People pick Wilson County because it's the exact opposite of what they're trying to escape from, you know. So, you know, Wilson County right now, we are booming as far as people moving here and businesses opening up. We just had an Amazon build one of their huge, I think it's the largest building in the world square foot wise. I mean, it's absolutely huge. So Amazon moved here. So you have a lot of technology and a lot of people moving here. And when they move here, you know, the money tries to talk more than the people. And so we need the Wilson County, I'm going to say the old guard, but the people that built it, who built it on a foundation, you know, of loving this country, of right is right, you know, and God, that we have to push it back because it's taken over Davidson.
Normally we say stuff. When Amazon moves in, there goes the neighborhood, but
yes.
Obviously they see where the work ethic, where the good business is. So, you know, good for you guys and good for them.
Yes, sir.
Versus, say, AOC, who kicked them out of New York, which turned out to be a mistake. So a little bit about education, since that's your primary focus right now. Nearly one in five Tennessee children live in poverty. And that varies by geography, of course. For example, less than 4% are in my county, Williamson County. But the Tennessee Commission on Children and Youth that came out this week said a child living in the lowest performing county was half as likely to be proficient in TCAP reading than the state average, the report found. A child in Perry County was far more likely by a factor of nearly 10 to be absent from school than a child in Blount County. Clay County had the highest rate of substantiated abuse or neglect at nearly 34 per 1,000 children. Moore County had the lowest at 0.8 per 1,000. Did you happen to notice that report, and how is Wilson doing?
Well, it's, you know, with these reports, the accuracy is what's important. And, you know, when they're trying to paint, when, the, you know, the state, Tennessee State of Department of Education, they're trying to paint with a broad brush, it kind of hurts some of the stronger, thriving counties, because you're trying to change anything for the very small percent. And in Wilson County, we do have a pocket, we like to say, call them economically disadvantaged. We do have small pockets of those, and we do address that. And we have increased in our testing numbers. But it's, you know, we're trying to get as best as we can. I don't know. We have a, we actually have a special school district in Lebanon, which is a city school district, which is smaller, K-8. And that's more of our inner city, where some of the, you might, the TCAP scores might not show for Wilson County, or, you know, because they're kind of separate from us, but it's improving. We acknowledge it. It's for me, I'm just going to be honest. You know, I was in the Marine Corps for 20 years. Okay. I didn't grow up in the fishbowl of education, and I read these reports, and I get with my educator friends, and we discuss and figure things out. And I've been on the board since August, so I'm still learning a whole lot about this, because there's just some things that just, they don't make common sense to me on the way we treat every county the same, even though we're vastly different, you know. And you know, we got,
I think common
model.
Sense left the education business a long time ago, but we'll get into that in a second.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
That's okay. No. And zone four, that's where you represent. Tell us about that area you cover, where Green Hill High School, Mount Juliet Elementary School, and Mount Juliet High School, I think, are the three biggest.
Yes. Yes. Those are so two of our powerhouse high schools, you know, Green Hill and Mount Juliet High School are both under this zone. It's interesting. We have seven zones, and many of the school board members share schools. So I don't own these schools by myself. The zone one, we mesh together, and she represents some of the same schools. So, but it's mostly a highly populated area, very small. It's on the higher end of the median income. It's on the higher end of the education. Athletics is great. The way of life here in this area is great. And that's what I love. Green Hill just opened up a couple of years ago. So brand new school. We're growing, and a lot of great people are moving here for the right reasons. But we have some people that live here that are allowing other things to change, you know, the fabric of who we are.
Yeah, 80,000 people moved to Tennessee in the last year,
yes.
Which is a record for the state. I don't know what percentage went to your county, but I'm sure if they look at this statistic, it was large. And if they look at the statistics, I could see why. You were ranked number two in best school districts in Nashville area, Lebanon, Tennessee, overall niche grade A-. A minus in academics, A in teachers, A in club and activities, B minus in diversity, sorry, B plus in college prep, and A plus in administration. Wow. Academics, 47% reading, 53% math. May not sound so great, but when I get into the whole state, it's actually pretty darn good. Average graduation rate, 96%. Wilson County School District ratings, number 12 of 126 best school districts in Tennessee. Number 14 of 126 best school district athletes in Tennessee. That makes UT very happy. Number 24 of 136 district with the best teachers in Tennessee. You guys are doing something right.
You know, I once again, I look at these numbers and they sound great. And you mentioned the testing, and once again, having 20 years in the Marine Corps, there's one way, you know, that's the best. It's the top. That's doing, you know, when you say we're, you know, I don't want to compare ourselves to other counties. I want to compare ourselves to the year before. We've got to keep getting better and better and better. And one thing that I'm concerned about is our teachers. You know, you mentioned, you know, our teachers and us being ranked high, but with the growth comes increased housing values. And without the increased salaries to go along with it, we're pricing ourselves out of some of these teachers, and they're having to go to other districts that do pay more. I constantly remind people that people don't move to Wilson County for the schools. They move here for the teachers. And if we don't keep those teachers, then we're going to end up like, you know, Davidson County, Hermitage, Antioch, where they were these great places, and then they all crash. So my main goal is trying to figure out how we can compensate fairly these educators and keep them, because that's really, I mean, I know we have Amazon, but that's our bread and butter. That's why people come here. The schools are amazing. That's specifically when I talk to the realtors, they want the schools. You know, we have SROs in every school. We're ahead of the game on safety. And once again, like I said, we're still that little pocket of oasis that clings to conservative values. And I tell people, they say, don't California my Tennessee. And I say, no, don't Davidson County my Wilson County. And that's what I try to come back with, because that's what's trying to happen. You know, and when you talk about diversity, I want a meritocracy. I want us to hire the best person. And so when we hire somebody based off diversity, to me, it takes away from what we can accomplish with hiring the best person. And so when you put stats like that and you say, well, diversity is the B, now we focus on that. And then we try to fix that to get it higher. But at what risk? You know, we risk losing other parts just to make that category. And I if I was a director and that was me and you're trying to improve, you might make and hire, you know, even subconsciously, not consciously, you might make a hire based off of that instead of the best person for the job. So that's great. I'm always
first,
on
the
that.
The first job I ever had in finance, meritocracy was the top of the four pillars of the list. And that word has sadly been forgotten in the last 40 years or 32 years since I started. So the TCAP state results, I do want to talk about them in general. I hear you, Wilson is doing something, but 3 in 10 Tennessee students are meeting grade level expectations in math. 36.4%, let's call it a third, of Tennessee students are meeting grade level expectations in ELA. So not nearly as good overall as Wilson County. What are you guys doing different?
Well, I think that we have, you know, once again, our director does a great job of putting his best where some of the points of friction are, you know, so making sure that, you know, we've got the new third grade retention law. We might get into that. But when our director sees a weakness, we support him in fixing that weakness. And one thing that we have here, which is great, is one, our teachers, I've spoke about them and them going above and beyond. But we also have a great level of parents who are able to be involved, you know, because like I said, a lot of them, you know, the median income is a little bit higher, you know, maybe they're not working as much, and the parents are able to stay on top of those things. I mean, so we have a lot more involvement from the beginning to the end of the school year. You know, we have tutoring programs throughout the year. We have a lot of opportunities to address what our weaknesses. And like I said, with the ELA, and, you know, we see these reports and it's hard for us to say, well, that's not us, but that's really, you know, we're there, but that's not us. And I just, you know, once again, learn this just starting in August, you know, I get parents who are concerned with these TCAPs and these tests, because a lot of these parents their kids come home with honor roll, all A's and B's. So the parents sometimes think, well, the TCAP is going to be easy, you know, and then we get the TCAP results and they're not, you know, they're kind of like, whoa, we're that bad, but we have everybody. So it's one of those things where we take pride in it. And once again, it's just getting the real data of what really is going to, you know, using our own metric system to grade ourselves. They can manipulate and suppress data and get what they want and try to push us in a certain direction. But lucky for us, our director is able to spot those things. And once again, it's just focusing on what's important and trying to keep education at the forefront, above the wokeness, above all these things trying to penetrate. Our director and I think our school board, we try to put that protection around the actual learning in the classrooms the best that we can.
All right. So I did a little side-by-side comparison. I know that's not fair, but Wilson, Williamson,
okay. Yes, sir.
Wilson, Williamson, and Tennessee overall from that comparison, that commission report, basically overall rank, Wilson 2, Williamson 1, so neck and neck. Tennessee in child poverty percent, 8.3 Wilson, 3.9 Williamson, 18.4 Tennessee, so both are doing great. Child care cost burden, 17.8 in Wilson, 11.9 in Williamson, 23.9, so below, that's good. Percent of children uninsured, not sure how that has even mattered. 6.5 in Wilson, 4.9 in Williamson, and 6 in Tennessee. So you're a little above there, but call it a tie. Percent of babies born at low birth weight, 7.5 Wilson, 6.2 Williamson, and 9.1 Tennessee, both doing better. Food insecurity, 5.7 Wilson, 0% at Williamson, and 12.8 in Tennessee. Substantiated instances of abuse or neglect, we talked about that a second ago, 4.5 in Wilson, 1.7 in Williamson, 10.2 in all of Tennessee. Ouch. Single parent families, 26.5 in Wilson, that's high, 15.2 in Williamson, and 37 on the state average. Anything in there jump out at you before we talk about how you got onto the board?
Well, it's once again, looking at these statistics with trying to draw back into the data that makes this up and seeing what those definitions are and how they imply, because you know, that like even the food insecurity, we're trying to focus on that. When I get off with you, I'm going to call Williams. I'm going to call them and see how they got that to zero and what they're implementing and what they're doing, because it's all about the kids, you know, when summer coming up, that's important. But with all those stats, as we do look at Williamson and we compete and we want to get to where they're at, and we're moving in that direction. But once again, is rating on that scale you just read the most important, you know, the closest alligators to the boat, fixing that and then getting another one and fixing that and getting to that point where, you know, we are number one, because that's where, you know, that's where I want to take us. If that's, we're going to take it, we're going to do it, we're going to do our best.
Admirable goal. So yes. Speaking of that, why you are the man for the job, here were your campaign ideas on how to make Wilson County schools great. So I just read they are real good, but you said you want them great. Here's how you said: priorities for students. Wilson County schools must be safe and have an atmosphere conducive to learning. 2, all students must be challenged to reach his or her full potential in today's ever-changing world. 3, college path students must be academically challenged and prepared to succeed at the college level. And 4, students who do not plan to go to college are valuable resources. Plans must be implemented to encourage and guide them toward vocational or technical training to equip them to become successful, productive members of the workforce and of our community. I love that. How are those 4 priorities that you ran on going, 9 months in now?
Well, it's amazing how things work. We just, and once again, learning everything about grants and seeing how we can get things implemented and what's good, what's bad about taking these grants. But we have a new CTE entire program where we are going to, we're beefing up our CTE programs. Okay. We're talking about doing aviation, meeting with the airport here. We have a small airport in Lebanon. So actually starting an aviation CTE where we're going to start bringing flight simulators into schools. So that's kind of vocational. We are spending a lot more money on culinary arts in our schools. We're trying to, you know, we have welding programs. When I started diving in and seeing how much we have, it was great. But then to see at the end of the year in our budget, we got a huge grant to start building more facilities and to focus on those jobs that we need here in Wilson County. And so we work as a team to see, hey, what are we short? You know, we have HVAC. We're building relationships with HVAC to come in and teach and have apprenticeship programs where they can go on in the summer, you know, and get some training. And then it's just kind of like move right into a job once they graduate. So, it's the world of everyone going to college to be successful. It's still true, but there's a lot of vocational jobs out there that we need to make sure these young men and women understand, because one, we need them. And 2, you can make some good money and make a difference in your community and learn a trade and then start your own business and just keep recycling those dollars back into our community.
That's great. All right. I like that thought. Starting July 1st, Lizette Gonzalez-Reynolds takes over for Penny Schwinn. Reynolds spent 12 years at the United States Department of Education, The one Speaker Sexton wants to give the money back to get them out of Tennessee. So I don't know. She was also with a school choice advocacy group based in Florida. So A, why does Lee keep picking out of state folks for Tennessee jobs? B, what did you think of Penny Schwinn's era? And C, are you excited to work with Reynolds?
Well, it was, I've been following Penny Schwinn way before I got, I got elected to the school board. And with her ties and, whether it's her husband, being tied, it's a web, it's a web. And just when you're excited, I'm not going to lie, I got excited when I heard Penny Schwinn was going to be leaving. Right. And I'm still, if I ever meet Bill Lee face to face, I'm going to ask him why Penny Schwinn? And then now I'm going to ask him about, the new hire, because for a moment we were happy. And then this comes and it's like, okay, so we've got to, we got to sort through what's going on behind this, with changing the funding model, bringing somebody in who's school choice with, just like me, with little or no educational, never been a teacher, never really been, on the ground level. So I'm not saying that you need to have that, but that does help. But what is she coming and what is her mantra? What is her goal going to be? Because I think that she's followed Ms. Schwinn before. They've both been in the same place or they followed each other. I might've been in Texas. So they followed each other before. So I'm trying to go back and look and see, but bringing somebody in that school choice at the same time of changing the funding for every student, from getting away from the BEP model, which was up and down depending on what county, now is going to be the same for everybody. And then there's going to be accelerators based off of those categories, like you talked about, economically disadvantaged and minority. So when you create all of that level playing field, now you can have your school choice because it's going to be the same amount of dollars for every kid. And there's not going to be so much variance county between county and county.
Okay. So January 23rd, 2023, the Wilson County School Board voted to place a book on the district's mature reading list, despite a book review committee's recommendation to keep it accessible to all high school students without parental consent. Conservative parents say it's not about banning books, but protecting children from over-sexualization. Recently elected Wilson County School Board member Joseph Padilla had this to say: I haven't met any parents that are afraid of any books. Parents are concerned with the sexually explicit content that these books include. In an over-sexualized society, public schools should be a place where a student can learn and a parent doesn't have to worry about any sexual ideology their child will be exposed to. Once again, it's not the book, it's the content. Parents aren't asking for reviews of 1984 or Fahrenheit 451, rather a book like Fun that has cartoonish comic book looking sexual situations that include the statements lesbians, terrorists, and get your God off my body. Please stop putting this issue as parents against books. It is parents against the over-sexualization of society and how we want public schools to be an environment that doesn't contribute to that. Last thing you said was there is a lot of misinformation circulating on social media about, that's the next section. Go ahead. Yeah. What do you think of that?
Well, it's what's interesting is as a Marine, the first time that we voted on books, we actually removed two of them. And my Marine friends, a couple of them that were still active, they contacted me and they're like, Joe, why did you remove books? We're Marines. We protect the Constitution. We don't. That's the freedom to read. Why would you do that? And I sent them excerpts from these books. All right. And both of them responded within 10 minutes and said, Joe, get every one of those books out. And if you need our help, we'll come and help you. Okay. So the big thing is they're painting a picture of banned books being Huckleberry Finn. The Joe Biden administration took Dr. Seuss off of Read Across America because Dr. Seuss was racial stereotypes in Dr. Seuss. So they were offended by that. But these books, I'm telling you, and after the Covenant thing, if you look at it, that Fun book has cartoonish pictures. And on the back wall, it's a poster that says lesbian terrorist. Right. And then get your God off my body. I'm a Marine and I couldn't say I blush when I show. And when I ran, right, I had to take pictures. I had to take a binder, which I have, of these books. And I went door to door and showed them. And when they looked at me, they're like, you're kidding. And I'm like, I'm not. And that kind of drove it home that it's not, they say Children have phones. They have access to way worse things. And I'm saying, good. Let them access it there and let school be that sanctuary where, you know, because it's sexualization everywhere. It's everywhere. And so make it, and we have a mature reading list, you know, and that's, what is that going to do? You know, if a kid goes and gets a book, you know, that has descriptive sodomy or, you know, descriptive, oral sex, or like, it's disgusting. It's descriptive. You know, I don't want a dad showing up to my porch and saying, how come my 15-year-old daughter found this book on the bus, opened it, and now, you know, these are the same people that get mad when if their kids get told Santa Claus is not real, right? Mm-hmm. Now you're chancing putting these books, right, in front of them with teenagers. And the funny thing, they say, you know, when you bring these books up, that's going to make kids go to them. And I'm like, well, that's funny, because you allow these safe space stickers and these pride flags. So they run to it when we talk about the books, but they're not when we have activists trying to push that. So it's just, if you see it and you read it and you fight for it, it's very confusing, you know. And we got rid of those two books, and there were school counselors, there were parents who were so upset that they went and ordered books. These books we got rid of, and went on a campaign to put them throughout all the neighborhood libraries in our town. And it's like, wow, they want these children to read these books so bad that they ordered them, and they showed where they ordered them, and they're going to put them here. And that's why the state, we need definitive laws against this, because you know, we have a rating for everything. Why not books? You know, and go take a look at the American Library Association. Oh my goodness, right? They teach these libraries.
We've done whole shows on that. Yeah,
terrible. Like, they teach these librarians where to put the books, not to put them all in one spot, to spread them out. So if there's not an agenda, then it's just, maybe I'm just, like I said, we talk about common sense, and you know, it's being able to assess the enemy, to assess where your weak points are. When you look at it, like, that's what they're doing. You know, they're telling people how to beat the system, how to talk to the media. Why would the ALA have to give instructions on how, you know? And it's just upset, because
well,
it's
they know they're doing something wrong, and if it wasn't for double standards, they would have no standards at all. I've only got about 5 minutes left with you, so I want to jam through this. Unfortunately, this happened to you. Padilla ran as a Republican in the first partisan school board race in 2022. The Wilson County School Board Ethics Committee heard a number of complaints at the beginning of February from constituents who have a history of voting Democrat. Now we know why, you just told us, because of your opinions, and yet crossed over to vote Republican in the primary. Many of the ethics complaints came about because the title of the page made it seem like it was, this is Facebook, made it seem like it was a page created by or endorsed by Williamson County Schools. The Wilson County Republican Party of Tennessee says that an ongoing situation surrounding Republican school board member Joseph Padilla highlights the need to close primaries in Tennessee. Okay, fine. Congratulations. I believe just yesterday you were completely exonerated of all of these ethics complaints.
Yeah, it was earlier than yesterday, but yes, it was. We had to change entire policies based off of these ethics complaints. I probably had between 30 and 35 ethics complaints from about 10 to 12 parents, because I had multiple complaints. And these are the same people that went around during my campaign and put pride flags around all my signs. Okay, so they conspired and put all these pride flags. So they have these secret groups. But being a Marine, I had somebody get in there and see everything that they try to do, and was a step ahead. So they put all these pride flags out. Then they conspired in the open about these ethics. They got in this group and they said, "Send me it. I'll copy it. I'll write it for you." So it's not, they, nothing to them is organic. Everything happens because that's what they want to have happen. Mm-hmm. And so these people all got together. A lot of the ethics complaints were the same, worded the same way. And at the end of the day, there was no way. I spoke to a couple lawyers and they said, "Joe, if they find you guilty, you're going to be able to appeal and probably sue your own school," because it was all emotion and no facts. And, you know, it's I don't know if I'm that. I think these people equate me to the voice in their head that tells them it's wrong to do these things, you know? And so that's why they take their anger out on me, is because evil and good and right and wrong isn't debatable, you know? And so all these ethics complaints, you know, they all got dismissed at the lowest level except for one. The one that was from a current teacher. Okay, a current teacher. So that one got forwarded up, and we had to have
The same teacher also complained that you had posted a link to a website that referenced her salary in an attempt to dox her. However, Padilla did not mention her name in the post, and the website is open to the public, listing all the salaries of all Wilson County employees, including your wife, who worked as a teacher at the time. So obviously it was just a smear campaign, an attack. They couldn't beat you at the ballot box, so they went after you legalese.
And they're going to keep.
Yeah, and so I was wrong. It was April 6, 2023, the last remaining ethics complaint against conservative school board member, there's the reason, Joseph Padilla, was dismissed Tuesday night. The one complaint not dismissed by the committee was presented to the full school board last night in a special cult meeting in Lebanon, Tennessee for consideration, and the board voted unanimously to dismiss the complaint and not censor you. So that's good news.
Yes, sir.
And the only other thing I wanted to know about that is, according to WKRN, John Cody filed a complaint against you. Mr. Padilla, at worst, threatened me with violence and at best attempted to intimidate me and bully me, a 42-year-old resident of Zone 4 said. The ethics committee dismissed the complaint after no charges were brought forward. If you have to think about it, it's not an ethics violation. It's hurt feelings. I'm sorry, okay? If your feelings are hurt, then I'm sorry. That's what I'm guilty of, not violating ethics, said Joseph Padilla.
Yeah, this gentleman lives in my neighborhood. And shame on me. So to be honest, and I'll make this quick, I had a lot of people said to offer a olive branch to somebody to try to, you know, to try to come together. This gentleman was running for our HOA, and I reached out and said I supported him and I was going to help him. And we went back and forth, and we were friends. All right, I thought we were. I said I wasn't going to promote you publicly because people would go against you. But I said, privately, I'm going to tell everyone in the neighborhood to vote for it. And he's like, man, he's like, I love it. Thank you. I appreciate it. I support what you're doing on the school board. Okay. Like 6 days later, he's on, they have this page. It's called the Debate and Advocate page on Facebook, where all they do is complain about me. That's all they do. So he went on there and he said, is Joe blocked from this page? I'm going to say some stuff about him and I don't want him to see it. Well, of course, somebody saw that and they told me. So I messaged John immediately when I got it. I messaged him and I said, and it's public record. I said, John, the only thing you're going to respond is your address and what time you're going to be home, because we're going to talk about this. I said, we're going to square this up. I left it at that. He didn't respond. My wife came home. She's kind of like the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit ain't got me and saying, Joe, relax, you know, and I was heated, but it was never going to be about violence. But I waited an hour and I messaged him again. I said, hey, John, don't worry about it. I said, you showed me that you don't deserve to lead our HOA, and I'm going to make sure people know exactly what kind of coward you are. I said, I forgive you, but I also pray that you never say my name again. And he immediately blocked me. He took everything down. And if you should read his complaint, I mean, or listen to it. He had the police come to my house at 9 o'clock at night, you know, and I'm like, there's nothing there. And so for that entire time, between that time he complained and my ethics, everybody thought I got arrested. Everybody thought I went and beat him up. Everybody, because they were running wild with it, and I wasn't going to entertain it, so I didn't say anything. So it was hurt feelings. And when he showed up and it got dismissed quick, and it was like, seriously, we had to spend time. Like, it's hurt feelings. And once again, it's people that are keyboard warriors, and they don't like the fact that just because I'm a public official, yes, I listen, okay? I listen, I'll deal with your complaints, and I'll help you, but that doesn't mean you can talk to me any way that you can. And they don't like when I tell them that. And I say, listen, if you want to meet, like, you're going to respect me, I'm going to respect you. But if you're going to start, being two-faced, lying, having agendas, then I'm going to call you out. That's what men do. And that's the problem nowadays, is everybody hides. You know, I just want to talk to you. Let's meet face to face. What did you mean by this? Why did you not want me to see what you were going to write about me after I gave you an olive branch and I was going to help you, and hopefully you were going to be the first step in us coming together, and you ruined that, because now I won't offer an olive branch again, because this guy stabbed me in the back the first time that he got, you know, first chance he got.
Yeah, well, Joseph, I really appreciate you and for standing up for basically the schools and doing the right thing and being a man of honor, absolutely. And you, unfortunately, you are in the political arena. You have to deal with that, but it didn't get you, so it made you stronger. We are at the end here. I'd love to have you back sometime, but tell our listeners where they can go to find out more about you, follow your social media, or anything you're into these days. Make sure you stay on that board.
Yeah, well, so the big thing here is me. I'm a man of action. After this whole thing with ethics, I don't have a public page. I put my email out all the time, and it's you know, when you email me, it's padiljos100@proton.me. They didn't like me using Proton either. That was another issue. But just email me, and I am everywhere in this county. I really want to give the power back to the people. It's my name on the card. It's my name on the plaque, but it's your authority in what I do. So, and how I vote. So thank you for having me. I got so many, you'd be shocked at some of the stories I could tell you, but anytime, reach out if I can help you. If you're ever up in this area, want to eat, or any way I can help anyone in Williamson County that's on our side, you want to put me in touch with them, because we can only grow stronger when we all unite and stop fighting amongst each other and realize that nobody's coming to save us. We have to save ourselves. So,
especially when you're doing it for the kids. So thank you again
always.
For coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Harvey Durham Health Insurance Agency is the trusted independent health insurance agency that you can depend on for all your health insurance coverage needs. He's great because he doesn't look at health insurance as sales. He looks at it as helping people and doing the best he can to solve your current long-term care, disability, and Medicare supplement needs, even pets. I know, I'm a client, and so is my lab, Caroline. Over 30 years of insurance experience behind every policy, give Harvey a call at 731-727-9242 or email him at harveydurham@harveydurham.com and tell him Steve and Steve at Mill Creek View sent you.
I don't understand how you ever did without me. I don't understand how I bring you down to your knees.
Welcome to the Steve and Steve segment of our show. We have a loaded one for you. Producer Steve, what did you think of our guest, Joseph Padilla?
Well, Joseph is... let's mint him and make sure that we got 1,000, 10,000 of him in every school board across the United States. That's all I can say. He's a dynamo. He knows his stuff, and he admits that. Look, I wasn't a school kind of guy. I went into the Marines. I spent 20 years, and yet he took that knowledge of what he learned there, and you know the idea of what's his strategy and what's the tactics, and now he looks at the bad guys and said, I see their strategy, I see their tactics, and we need to build our own strategy, build our own tactics, and go after these guys and take back our school. So good on him.
Wouldn't it be cool if they said something to the effect of, if you go into the military on the GI Bill, but you serve on the school board for like one or two terms, we'll waive it? That'd be so awesome.
Yes.
Let's start it off with clip number one.
Everything is in context. My mother she would give us a hard time sometimes, and she would say to us, I don't know what's wrong with you young people. You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you.
She wasted? U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris appears in public in a very strange state. Clip number two.
Civilized people, they'll eat each other.
You are the unvaccinated. You are the problem. It is the unvaccinated who are the problem. Period. End of story.
The only people that you can blame, the only people you can blame, this isn't shaming, this is the truth. Maybe they should be shamed, are the unvaccinated.
It's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks.
Anyone you came into contact with will blame you. as will the rest of us who have done the right thing by getting vaccinated.
Because frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
I think it's time to get our moral house in order, Anderson. It's the unvaccinated who are the threat.
All of us vaccinated folks are going to start wearing masks to protect the unvaccinated folks. It's called a Christian value.
You're basically punishing the vaccinated for the sins of the unvaccinated.
People are not behaving honorably. The unvaccinated are basically saying, well, it's open season for me. I can do whatever I want as well.
The unvaccinated are basically beating their breasts, running around the country saying, we don't care, we're living free, and so forth.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
The unvaccinated, a group that includes children and people acting like children. And the rest of us are starting to get pissed off.
The vaccinated feel the unvaccinated are making me upset or angry.
This is not about freedom or personal choice.
Well, my freedom is being kind of disturbed here. No, screw your freedom.
The other day, Howard Stern weighed in with a much different approach. Take a look.
When are we going to stop putting up with the idiots in this country and just say, you now, it's mandatory to get vaccinated. Their freedom.
But you're treading on our freedom and you're making other people sick, and really you're killing other people.
The anti-vaxxers, they seem to have a thing for death and home remedies.
The anti-maskers turned anti-vaxxers are not just putting their own lives at risk. If that was the issue, we could just say that we can watch them compete to win Placer's show in the Darwin Awards.
We have to start doing things for the greater good of society and not for idiots who think that they can do their own research.
And don't get me started on the lunatics who won't take any of the COVID vaccines.
Life is too short to be an ass. Life is way too short to be ignorant of the promise of something that is helping people worldwide.
Maybe you're doing it because you're disconnected or disorganized. Maybe you have some sympathetic psychological reasons, but maybe you're just being antisocial.
Oh, you can't shame them. You can't call them stupid. You can't call them silly. Yes, they are.
Those who are not vaccinated will end up paying the price.
The unvaccinated should be taxed. They should pay more for health care.
We need to start looking at the choice to remain unvaccinated the same as we look at driving while intoxicated.
We're going to see, and I've said, almost two types of America.
Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. That choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo, rest in peace, Wheezy.
Pointing back to the unvaccinated who are really creating a problem in this country, every death that we are seeing from COVID could have been prevented.
Literally, the only people dying are the unvaccinated. And for those of you spreading misinformation, shame on you.
Who's got the last laugh on that one, Steve?
The unvaccinated to blame per the media.
Oh, yeah.
The unvaccinated are scum. Steve, how are we even here? Someone said crazy home remedy. Did you know you can make hydroxychloroquine all by yourself at home? YouTube. Check it out. It's very easy. So last week. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Say it.
Grapefruit peelings and boil it in water, I think, or something like that.
That's it. That's how they avoided malaria in South Asia. Exactly. Okay, last week I went to a small church here in town in downtown Franklin, Tennessee, and I heard Michael Knowles. If you don't know him, he's a host at Daily Wire, which moved here to Nashville because California was so hellish. Anyway, he had very interesting things to say. Very good speaker, very smart about cancel culture. He's been run off college campuses and the whole Madison Avenue transgender promotion commercial things like Miller Lite just did, even after the sales drop at Budweiser. Here's what he said on Twitter. Trans Heiser Bush is still scrambling over the Mulvaney beer can ad sales continue to tank, but it's caught between a rock of customers and a hard place called GARM, a WEF, World Economic Forum, backed operation, which was subpoenaed Friday by Jim Jordan and the House Judiciary. Here's why. One might think that Bud Light could just apologize and admit that men aren't women, but no matter how much Bud Light and parent company AB InBev might wish to rein in the radicalism, they can't abandon the agenda. They're mired in the World Economic Forum ESG gobbledygook. Budweiser claims to be a beer rooted in the heart of America, but in 2008, the Belgian company InBev bought AB for $52 billion, putting a fixture of American culture into a European rival's hands, per the New York Times. Now it's beholden to elites at the WEF, UN, and EU. Bud Light's suggestion that the Dylan Mulvaney endorsement was just some one-time thing would be more believable if AB InBev didn't openly admit to wanting to, quote, ensure their pro-trans diversity, quote, touches upon all functions, including marketing. We continuously work to integrate diversity and inclusion into our business strategy and help ensure it touches upon all functions, including sales, supply chain, marketing, and others. I am particularly excited by the growth of our employee resource groups, where our colleagues have opportunities and space to voice change. Vero Prox, P-R-O-K-S, Corporate Affairs Specialist at AB InBev. AB InBev has embraced a litany of woke initiatives from ESG to DEI, along with a full endorsement of transgenderism, Noel says. They now foot the bill when employees choose to mutilate their bodies. We have introduced inclusive benefits such as gender-affirming medical support for transgender colleagues in the U.S. and Canada, and financial and legal support for name changes for colleagues in Brazil and Colombia. AB InBev has adopted a corporate policy that exalts, quote, gender identity and expression, end quote, to the same level of significance as age and race, says Knowles. What we mean by diversity inclusion. Diversity is about differences. Each of us is different. And at AB InBev, I think it's actually called AmBev. At least that's how we're going to say it from now on. Yep. We value and respect individual differences. AmBev takes the widest possible view of diversity to include attributes such as age, gender, gender identity and expression, sexual orientation, language, ethnicity, nationality, family and marital status, religion and belief, social and economic backgrounds, veteran status, education experience, disability, and any other characteristics that make our colleagues unique. AmBev not only indoctrinates all their managers with, quote, unconscious bias training, it also insists that external suppliers submit to the pro-trans diversity agenda too. AB InBev isn't surprised that this time customers said enough. Some of AB InBev's other subsidiaries go further than Bud Light, funding family-forming benefits to cover depravities such as two men buying a woman's eggs, renting another woman's womb, and intentionally depriving babies of their natural mothers. If you're still confused as to why the Anheuser-Busch statement on the Mulvaney can compromise nothing but babble, consider AmBev's openly stated goal of becoming agents of change and a, quote, recognized champion of diversity. It seems AB InBev can no longer rest easy by making a few donations to the GOP, all the while carrying out the WEF stakeholder capitalism agenda. The radicals in Belgium running AmBev and cozying up to WEF are not your friends. They're not even your neutral acquaintances. They're advancing a political agenda that is crippling our country, Noel says. He goes on to say, publicly traded companies around the world are caving to the pressures of ESG ratings and pandering to Klaus Schwab and his pack of elites. That would be reason enough to stand against them, but it gets worse. Large global advertisers like AmBev are taking it further. The World Federation of Advertisers, whose members include megacorps like AmBev, Adidas, BP, CVS, Goldman Sachs, MasterCard, McDonald's, Merck, Nike, P&G, Hershey's, Disney, Unilever, and Walmart, among others, have created a monster known as GARM, the Global Alliance for Responsible Media. GARM is a cross-industry initiative, i.e. an agreement of the world's largest and most powerful advertisers and platforms to demonize what they consider, quote, harmful content, end quote. To achieve this, lib-captured companies such as AmBev and big tech platforms such as YouTube and TikTok created standards that limit or demonize content that contains, quote, hate speech about, quote, gender identity, quote, insensitive treatment of debated social issues, and, quote, misinformation. When were these misinformation policies introduced? In the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, of course, and in collaboration with the far-left European Commission and NAACP, what could go wrong? GARM is so powerful and controls so much advertising money, like that of Bud Light, that YouTube, Meta, Facebook and IG, Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, and others are writing pages of reports about how they will run their platforms to satisfy GARM standards. Now, what could make this enormous team of woke corporations even worse? Klaus Schwab and his World Economic Forum swallowed up GARM as a flagship project under their platform for shaping the future of media, entertainment, and sport. It's difficult to convey the scale of this problem, but thanks to Jim Jordan and the judiciary GOP, Some GARM and WEF staff are going to have to answer some serious questions. Don't look away. If we don't put an end to this growing scheme of control and deceit, Bud Light's inability to apologize and admit that men can't be women will be the least of our problems. What do you think?
I think we need Jim Jordan. Let's hope he can multiply himself a hundredfold, and we can crush these. Well, it sounds like a Chinese thing, but quite frankly, you and I have had enough people on this show, Steve, to know that this is a plan. I write it in my book. It's all a plan, and they used the COVID to smash everybody's brains, and now they just introduced all this. It was all part of the World Economic Council. By the way, Twitter's new overseer hired by Elon Musk is from Klaus Schwab's side. So don't think Twitter is any better.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Next headline, Tennessee Attorney General, 16 others call for President Biden to block trans athlete rule. Tennessee Attorney General Jonathan Scarametti, episode 78, he told us this was coming, penned a letter signed on by 16 other attorney generals from other states calling on the U.S. Department of Education, those bastards, to uphold Title IX protections by preventing biological males from participating in female sports. Same day, Riley Gaines testified before Congress, episode 89, Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast, that NCAA made locker room unisex without consent. If you watch the video, you can see her dad behind her. Dude was pissed, and rightly so. Next. Oklahoma bans first three companies from state business for ESG policies. The restrictions are based on a law passed by the legislature in 2022 that requires the state to divest from firms that boycott the energy industry. Those 13 companies have 90 days to tell the state it has stopped boycotting energy companies. And if they haven't stopped their boycott, the law grants the state 6 months to divest itself of 50% of investments with the financial company and a full year to divest 100%. JP Morgan Chase, one of the 13 listed that does business with the state, called the designation baseless in an email response to the Center Square. Remember my interview with the editors of Center Square, Dan McCaleb, episode 58. They do good work. Okay. More on Jamie's crying. Bet you regret me turning your offer for a job down, don't you now, Jamie? JP Morgan's Jamie Dimon is no savior. He's a Bond villain. Gage Clipper, Daily Caller. Since the banking crisis started in March, J.P. Morgan's chief executive, Jamie Dimon, has frequently made the headlines. Despite leading the country's largest bank through an extensive list of scandals since his tenure began in 2006, Dimon is not the hero of the republic that the corporate media often makes him out to be. In fact, he much more closely resembles a villain from a James Bond film, the article says. Mm-hmm. And if this all wasn't enough, J.P. Morgan has big plans to deepen its ties with America's biggest adversary. China is by far the biggest opportunity for us, the bank's chief of global markets, Troy Robaugh, said at a conference. Dimon himself plans to visit the country later this month for the first time since the pandemic. The bank's asset management arm boasts of exciting opportunities in a range of equity and bond market investments geared toward long-term consumer trends. JP Morgan clearly thinks China is the future and wants to bring its American investors along for the ride. While Dimon continues to crush ordinary Americans under the boot of woke capital, the corporate media will continue to sugarcoat his agenda. However, the dirty secret that neither Dimon nor the media want to admit is that the agenda is very much the same. Dimon spares no effort in making his intentions appear pure, but like with every Bond villain, other incentives lie just below the surface. Good article. GOP oversight is holding a hearing on the threat posed by ESG agenda to both American business and our economy at large. Thank you, Chairman Rep. James Comer, for helping shine a light on this pivotal issue. Alabama AG Steve Marshall, ESG is a clear and present danger to consumers and to our democracy. An unelected cabal of global elites is using ESG to hijack our capitalist system, capture corporations, and threaten the hard-earned dollars of American workers. Lauren Boebert outlined how BlackRock is using your retirement funds to force corporate America into compliance with their ESG agenda. Rep. Tim Burchett and Sean Rays, Utah, discussed the threat that the radical UN-backed Net Zero Asset Manager Alliance poses to our economy and our overall energy security. Okay, so the people are onto this now. That's good. End it. Next item. CNN's Anderson Cooper has hit a level of unhinged never before seen. He goes out of his way to refuse to say President Trump's name the entire segment. Very funny. This is how hard the bubble burst yesterday because of that town hall last week. Clip number three.
You have expressed deep anger and disappointment. Many of you are upset that someone who attempted to destroy our democracy was invited to sit on a stage in front of a crowd of Republican voters to answer questions and predictably continued to spew lie after lie after lie. And I get it. It was disturbing. It was disturbing to see and hear that person refer to a black law enforcement officer as a thug, an adjective he used many times to describe black men, and call Caitlin Collins, the moderator, nasty, which is what he calls any woman who stands up to him. It was disturbing to hear him speak so highly of QAnon conspirators and insurrectionists who assaulted police officers in our democracy on January 6th. And it was awful to hear him spread ridiculous lies about the election. And it was certainly disturbing to hear that audience, young and old, our fellow citizens, people who love their kids and go to church, laugh and applaud his lies and his continued defamation of a woman who, according to a jury of his peers, he sexually abused and defamed. As good a job as Caitlin Collins did trying to fact-check him, it is impossible to fact-check fully because he lies so shamelessly. Now, many of you think CNN shouldn't have given him any platform to speak, and I understand the anger about that. Giving him the audience, the time, I get that. But this is what I also get. The man you were so disturbed to see and hear from last night, that man is the front-runner for the Republican nomination for president. And according to polling, no other Republican is even close. That man you were so upset to hear from last night, he may be president of the United States in less than 2 years. And that audience that upset you, that's a sampling of about half the country. They are your family members, your neighbors, and they are voting. And many said they're voting for him. Now, maybe you haven't been paying attention to him since he left office. Maybe you've been enjoying not hearing from him, thinking it can't happen again. Some investigation is going to stop him. Well, it hasn't so far. So if last night showed anything, it showed it can happen again. It is happening again. He hasn't changed, and he is running hard. You have every right to be outraged today and angry and never watch this network again. But do you think staying in your silo and only listening to people you agree with is going to make that person go away?
Anderson, you were the guy that said if you didn't get jabbed, you were a menace to society. And now I'm supposed to listen to what you say today?
No. Once upon a time, Steve, it was unbecoming to use lie in the context of politicians. No more since Trump broke everybody's brain. Andy Cooper, Gloria Vanderbilt's Richie son, calling for mutiny after Trump crushed the CNN town hall debate. He said, "You have every right to be outraged today and angry and never watch this network again. Both of you." Next up. Total vindication, full reinstatement, and back pay for three Barrington, Rhode Island teachers fired for refusing COVID vax. In an overwhelming victory, the three Barrington, Rhode Island teachers fired last year for refusing the COVID vaccine had requested a religious exemption from taking the Barrington School District's mandatory COVID vaccine at the beginning of 2021-22 school year. The district denied their request, suspended them without pay, and ultimately fired them effective January 1st of 2022. Have settled all claims against the Barrington School Committee in their favor. Their lawyer, Greg Piccarelli, good job, announced today. There you go, lawyers. If you've been waiting for precedent, the floodgates are now open for you. Sue.
Yes.
MovingOn.org. Okay. Durham report confirms Obamagate is real. Joe Biden, the current president, helped conspire against the incoming president and the peaceful transfer of power, a hallmark of American government. Obama was briefed on the whole plan. Clip number four.
Trump will not be president.
Highly critical, biased text messages between senior FBI officials Peter Strzok and Lisa Page.
There will be no question about the outcome of this election.
And she got ahead of herself. This utterly stunned this campaign.
Head home. You should get some sleep. We'll have more to say tomorrow.
Our constitutional democracy enshrines the peaceful transfer of power.
The peaceful transition of power is one of the hallmarks of our democracy.
We want to do everything we can to help you succeed, because if you succeed, then the country succeeds.
These declassified documents that were just released.
Officials in the Obama administration were asking for the identities to be unmasked of Americans.
Unmasking of aides and staffers of the incoming president.
The basic charge
political spying.
To disrupt the peaceful transfer of power.
Unmasking of American citizens could be a real problem.
Why is it that the unmasking of Flynn somehow ended up in the pages of the Washington Post?
I know nothing about those moves to investigate Michael Flynn.
The vice president said that yesterday. And then the last name on this list is Joe Biden.
The Obama administration was bitter. They wanted to do everything they could to undermine the incoming Trump administration.
Really designed to sabotage and really upend the new administration.
An outgoing president and a vice president and a Washington Post columnist and the FBI setting up an incoming administration.
Wow.
That's a real conspiracy. And nobody wants to talk about it.
Love that music, Steve. Gotta love that music.
But it's Trump that's the liar, right?
Yeah.
I know. God. So the network formerly known as Clinton News Network, the same one where Andy Cooper works, ran with this after the report. Clip number five.
Now an investigation that's 4 years in the making, and we finally have the conclusions, more than 300 pages released by the Justice Department. Now it has now been transmitted to members of Congress, who also are going to want to bring John Durham in to review some of the findings. But the bottom line is this. The investigation found that the FBI failed in many, many ways, things that we already knew from a previous Inspector General report. And I'll read you just a part of it, of John Durham's conclusion. He says, based on the review of Crossfire Hurricane and related intelligence activities, we conclude that the department and the FBI failed to uphold their important mission of strict fidelity to the law in connection with certain events and activities described in this report. This is.
I smell some bull Durham there, Mr. John Durham.
How did that get past CNN censors? In the clip, his earpiece falls out in the beginning. Did you see that?
Yes.
I bet a producer was screaming at him to shut up. Oops.
He's like, no, I got to take it out. I got to voice my opinion here.
I hate those actually little things. Producer Steve, why does our government not like us very much? I hate having to do reports like this, but folks need to know. And since I promised truth, I'm going to do it no matter what. So this article disturbed me. The militarization of the IRS, the facts on the purchase of guns, ammunition, and military-style equipment since 2006, and why does the IRS need guns? By Adam Andrzejewski, A-N-D-R-Z-E-J-E-W-S-K-I. Sorry if I mutilated that. Big spend. Since 2006, 103 rank-and-file agencies outside of the Department of Defense spent $3.7 billion on guns, ammunition, and military-style equipment, inflation-adjusted to CPI. 27 of those agencies are traditional law enforcement under the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security. Get that? 27 out of 103. However, 76 agencies are pencil-pushing regulatory agencies, i.e. Environmental Protection Agency, Social Security Administration, Veterans Affairs, Internal Revenue Service, Health and Human Services, Department of Transportation, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and many others. Headcounts. There are now more federal agents with arrest and firearm authority, 200,000, than U.S. Marines, 186,000. A study, IRS, all numbers updated through March 31st, 2023. Since 2006, the IRS spent $35.2 million on guns, ammunition, and military-style equipment, CPI adjusted. The years 2020 and 21 were peak years of the IRS for purchasing weaponry and gear. Just since the pandemic started, the IRS has purchased $10 million in weaponry and gear. Special agent headcount, nearly 2,100 special agents. Recently, the IRS chief testified that they are adding 600 new positions, 20,000 new hires with 3% ratio of special agents this year. Based on headcount, the IRS ranks in the equivalent of the top 50 largest of 12,261 police departments across the country. Uproar over the IRS special agent job posting. In August 2022, IRS posted a job description for special agent and a position requirement with the willingness to use deadly force. The description went viral on the internet and the deadly force language was edited out. However, today that language is back in the online job posting. Gun locker, pre-2020. The IRS owned 4,500 guns and stockpiled 5 million rounds of ammunition for use by its 2,159 special agents. These figures include 621 pump action and semi-automatic shotguns, 539 long-barreled rifles, and 15 submachine guns. The IRS purchased buckshot and slugs for their shotguns. The rifles are semi-automatic Smith & Wesson M&P AR-15 and H&K rifles, the very same guns that some politicians want banned in the private sector, like Washington State. Purchased since 2010, $10 million. The agency made notable purchases of the following items: $2.5 million on ballistic shields, $1.2 million, and various other gear for criminal investigation agents, $1.3 million, $1.3 million on duty tactical lighting, $467,000, tactical gear bags, $354,000, ballistic helmets, $267,000, and body armor vests, $243,000. Nearly $1 million on Smith & Wesson rifles, $474,000, and Beretta 1301 tactical shotguns, $463,000. Purchased 3,000 units of optical-compatible tactical holsters for weapons with optical sights and weapons lighting systems. The IRS statement: responding to our request for comment in 2021 on the purchase of guns, ammunition, and military statement equipment over the years, CI equals criminal investigation, CI special agents have been using weapons throughout their history as they have consistently found themselves investigating the most dangerous criminals involved in organized crime, drugs, and gangs. These types of cases are typically worked in conjunction with other state and federal law enforcement agencies. Firearms and equipment are also used for training purposes. Special agents are required to train and qualify for their weapons and must participate in quarterly training to maintain proficiency. And last clip, number six, your reminder that Adam Schiff is a liar.
Counterpart in the Senate, the Republican chair of the Intelligence Committee, Richard Burr, said that his committee has found nothing to suggest collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. You said, quote, that's not our view in the House. But, you know, Burr hasn't exactly been a rabid partisan on this until the last couple of weeks. He's been working very closely with the Democrats. So why do you think he's wrong?
Well, it's not just that I think he's wrong. Mark Warner, the vice chair of the Intel Committee in the Senate, also disagrees with that assessment. But look, you can see evidence in plain sight on the issue of collusion, pretty compelling evidence. Now,
counterpart in the Senate.
What's that, Steve? I didn't quite understand what that clip's about.
Oh, he said collusion in plain sight when we just got the Durham report saying
the guy's got tons of makeup, by the way. He just looks like this young man, and he's not really. So anyway,
no, but they love him. They love him in Burbank. That's where he's from. That's his district, Burbank, where Hollywood and the porn industry is. Do I think anything will happen to these guys? Absolutely, I do not. And a 2024 presidential election won't change anything, in my opinion. Stay tuned for my thought of the day. New Life Chiropractic Brentwood is a max living health center serving the greater Nashville area since 2007. You know, the ones that were members of Max Living Sports Performance Council at the 2012 London and 2016 Rio Summer Olympic Games with the U.S. wrestling and judo teams, and Tennessee NFL alumni. If Dr. Dion Kellogg can help those hardworking spines, she can help you. I know, she helped me. I'm a patient. We all have a spine. Take care of it at New Life. You'll be amazed. Check out drkellogg.maxliving.com and schedule a health consultation at front desk at newlifecoolsprings.com. Welcome to my quotes for the day. But before I share, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to Mill Creek View Podcast. Just go to Rumble or iTunes or Spotify and hit the subscribe button and follow us. And thanks for doing it. My honor was not yielded, but conquered merely. Cleopatra, the last ruler of Egypt, is said to have killed herself with poison. Netflix's new series about the historic figure similarly did itself in, albeit by other means. The series, which debuted on May 10th and is number 6 in Netflix's top 10 list, presently has a 2% average audience score on Rotten Tomatoes and an average critical score of 11%. The show did not fare better with reviewers on IMDb, where it has a 1.1 out of 10 rating. As of the time of publication, 94.2%, around 37,000 of the approximately 39,000 ratings the show received, gave it the lowest possible review. Joseph McKinnon, Blaze Media. Tina Garvey, the show's director, made clear ahead of time that her intentions were ideological. Garvey wrote in Variety, "Was her skin really that white? Was this new production, could I find the answers about Cleopatra's heritage and release her from the stranglehold that Hollywood had placed on her image? The universally panned show's creator added, doing the research, I realized what a political act it would be to see Cleopatra portrayed by a Black actress. Why shouldn't Cleopatra be melanated sister, melanated, like melanonin of the skin, melatonin? And why do some people need Cleopatra to be white? Her proximity to whiteness seems to give her value, and for some Egyptians, it seems to really matter. Garvey underscored that this was no mere documentary, but agitprop. We need to have a conversation with ourselves about our colorism and the internalized white supremacy that Hollywood has indoctrinated us with. Or maybe we really, really don't, Tina. Go woke, go broke over and over and over again. The metaverse, the once buzzy technology that promised to allow users to hang out awkwardly in disorienting video game-like world, has died. After being abandoned by the business world, it was 3 years old. Zuckerberg misled everyone, burned tens of billions of dollars, convinced an industry of followers to submit to his quixotic obsession, and then killed it to the second that another idea started to interest Wall Street. There is no reason that a man who has overseen the layoffs of tens of thousands of people should run a major company. There is no future for Meta with Mark Zuckerberg at the helm. It will stagnate and then it will die and follow the metaverse into the proverbial grave. Ed Zitron is the CEO of EZPR, a national tech and business public relations agency. And Miller Lite gets into the act. Miller Lite released an ad on March 7th titled Bad Shit to Good Shit, which goes after the beer industry for its supposed sexism against women. The ad has drawn recent criticism after Bud Light's promotion of transgender TikTok star Dylan Mulvaney showed off a beer can with the influencer's face on it. They also released a can with a rainbow that states, celebrate everybody's identity, celebrate everyone's identity, and featured different pronouns. Molson Coors was unapologetic in a comment. People can take issue with our ads or our brands, and that's everyone's right. But we have thousands of hardworking people from all walks of life who are only doing what millions of other Americans do every day, working hard to earn a living, and we will always support them in their work. Molson Coors' Chief Communications and Corporate Affairs Officer Adam Collins said in a statement, this video was about two things, warm poop and saying women shouldn't be forced to mud wrestle in order to sell beer. Neither of these things should be remotely controversial, and we hope beer drinkers can appreciate the humor and ridiculousness of this video from back in March, the company said. We'll keep an eye on the sales. That's it for this episode. Really hoped you liked it. Thank you, Joseph, for hanging tough and overcoming your haters. Until next time, this is your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of mcview.us. Peace in our time.
Hello, everyone. Benny Smith, longtime election integrity advocate, former Shelby County Elections Commissioner, and now State of Tennessee Election Commissioner, and you're listening to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast.
County Fair. They were looking for America behind every turn, flying the very colors that so many love to burn. I'll cruise the countryside with my dad and my brother, row after row of cotton and corn, moving through this place just like rolling thunder.
Any views or opinions represented on the podcast are personal and belong solely to the creator and do not represent those of people, institutions, or organizations that the creator may or may not be associated with in a professional or personal capacity unless explicitly stated.